And it is 7:15, and I will call our regular meeting of the Town of Bolton Finance Committee to order at 7:15. We have present for committee members, myself, Ross Lally, the chair. We have David Coles from the Board of Selectmen, Rodney Fournier, first selectman, also from the Board of Selectmen. And we have Melissa Wieland and Danae Johnson. So Melissa's from at large, Danae is from Board of Ed, and I do not see Tyler anywhere.
Or Ben.
Or Ben.
Or Ben, for that matter. So we will get started. We're called to order. We also have present. There's Tyler. Tyler just joined us. He's another member at large. And we also have David Caruso, our superintendent of schools, and as I said, Rodney Fournier, who is going to be presenting for the town of Bolton, the Board of Selectmen when we get there. So I'm going to start with public comment. If there's anybody in the public who has any comments, I do not see anybody online from the public, anybody here in the room who wishes to speak. No one is wishing to speak, so we'll go on to our approval of the minutes from our regular meeting of February 19th. And I'm going to try to have us keep up with the minutes as we go along. There's once we let them all pile up at the end, then nobody remembered what they were. Plus, the public couldn't, see the corrected minutes either.
I make a motion we approve the minutes from February 19th, 2026.
So a motion made by Rodney Fournier to approve the minutes as is. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by David Coles. Discussion. I did forget before that we also had Jill Collins present, so I just want to make sure that we know that she is here as well, our CFO. And any
Good.
okay, and I'm not here. Any question?
No, I know something else. I was saying,
Okay.
go ahead.
Then I will ask for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes as is signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, abstentions. Motion passes unanimously by all members present. So we can now move on to the presentation of the budgets. Do you folks want to take questions at the end of your present, each of you at the end, or do you want to take them all together?
I would think it probably make more sense to take them after.
Right after yours and then right after David.
Well, that otherwise, if we wait for both, they may start forgetting questions.
Okay, that's fine. I just, whatever works for, folks. All right, do you want questions during or do you want to wait till the end?
Well, can we give it a practice shot and see what
We'll see what happens. And
happens?
I would just ask people if you want to ask during, just as a, to clarify if you don't understand.
I think you can do that.
And then
Then,
we'll poke it, then we can poke away at, the content at the end.
yeah, that's fine.
That work?
Good
All
for
right.
me.
Rodney has volunteered, our first selectman has volunteered to go first to discuss the Board of Select, present the Board of Selectmen budget.
All right.
Floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. I hope we can make this very clear in the first shot. 3.06. Don't forget that
might be a slight change.
Is somebody running the slides or
I don't know.
for the public, the Zoom people?
Are they on the computer?
They're not on this computer because they were emailed out
Do you
and
have them on your computer?
He
I
said
can pull them up in the e from the email.
Oh, actually, I might have them too.
if you have them. Yeah, because this is just like the
it,
town
but it's a
deck.
PDF, so it'll be a slide. It won't necessarily be
That's fine.
like the slide deck, but it's better than. At least that people have a visual.
Or I can go out to the town.
I can describe them for you. Page one is a picture of
the Yeah, hold on a sec. Let me go out to our website. As long as they're out there, the package, I can do it.
While you're figuring that out, can I ask a question of which is the most current one, the one stapled or the one in the binder?
I can do it.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
The binder.
I have it.
The binders. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, it might be easiest, David, if you jump into Zoom and then drop it in the chat, and then maybe Ross can pick it up from the chat and show it on the screen so he can continue.
Whichever way.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get it to let me. Well, let me share my screen.
Well, let you share your screen.
No, there was a setting that was changed. But...
No. Yeah, because you're just a guest. You're not.
Okay, just a guest.
I've done it before, though.
Well, I have it.
Hold on. Let me get it. Sorry about this, folks. March 19th. Let's go.
It's a beautiful slide deck, so people should see it.
There we go. Let me go share my screen then. Go back to Zoom, and we should have it for Mr. Fournier. Share. There you go.
There we go.
And then, Rodney, you can just tell me when you want to click on it and move things along.
All right. So 3.06, don't forget that number. This is the Town of Bolton 2026-2027 Board of Selectmen proposed budget. Page two, your meeting agenda. Tonight we'll walk you through the proposed FY 2027 Board of Selectmen budget. We'll start with a brief overview of our commitment to Bolton residents and the principles that guide our budgeting approach. We'll then highlight some key accomplishments from the past year, review the Board of Selectmen's objectives as we look to the future, and finally walk through the proposed 2026-2027 budget and the factors that shaped it. Next page. Before we get into the specific numbers, we want to start with the principles that guide how the budget was built. Our goal is to deliver the services that the residents rely on every day, protect Bolton's quality of life, and do it in a financial responsible way. The framework helps explain how we approach each decision in the budget you'll see tonight. First and foremost, the budget prioritizes the core services the residents depend on every day. That includes public safety, public works, refuse services, and maintaining efficient operations so residents receive reliable services. Beyond the core services, Bolton's strength as a community comes from a quality of life we provide. That includes recreation programs, library, senior and social services, and maintaining our parks and public facilities. These services help support families and residences of all ages, and they constitute the board's character, and they contribute to Bolton's character. Sorry about that. All at the same time, we recognize that we are managing taxpayer dollars. The budget was developed with a focus on balancing today's service needs with long-term fiscal sustainability. We work to control costs, pursue grants, and outside funding where possible. We plan carefully for the future, all in a transparent manner. Next page, 2025-6 accomplishments. On the previous slide, we outlined the principles that guide how we approach the town's budget, providing reliable services, maintaining Bolton's quality of life, and ensuring responsible fiscal stewardship. The slide highlights some of the key accomplishments over the past year that reflect these priorities in action. Over the past year, we have made several investments to maintain the strength core of municipal services. Many accomplishments this year focus on maintaining and improving the community spaces and services residents value. Finally, we continue to prioritize bringing outside funding into the community wherever possible. Is there any questions so far? Please spell down. Next page. Board of Selecting objectives. The accomplishments we have received, reviewed, highlights the progress the town made over the past year in delivering services, improving community resources, and managing finances responsibly. Looking ahead, we also want to be clear about the objectives that will guide our work in the coming year. Several of these objectives focus on service delivery and operations. Others focus on strengthening community assets and engagement. The others support long-term fiscal stability. These objectives help ensure that our efforts continue to support the broader commitments we outlined earlier. With that context in mind, we'll now walk you through the proposed budget and how the town's fiscal resources are allocated to support these services and priorities. Next slide, you're already there. Very good. The aggregate Board of Selectmen's budget that was approved by the Board of Selectmen is $9,771,481, or 3.06% increase from 2026. For context, this figure includes the Board of Selectmen budget, capital improvements for both the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Ed, and debt servicing. It does not include Board of Ed expenditures. So the Selectmen budget includes Board of Ed capital projects because the town is responsible for maintaining and caring for the school properties. You kind of want to think of it as a landlord-tenant relationship, where the town is the landlord and Board of Ed is the tenant. For example, Knox Road, when that building got closed, school just walked away from it, and the town had to maintain the school and the lawns and everything else. So that's why we carry the Board of Ed capital improvement. Any questions? Next page. We wanted to show how the proposed budget aligns with the goals and objectives we highlighted earlier. 50% of our budget is focused on supporting core services like that residents rely on, like public safety, public works, refuse services, and the services residents use like building and land use, zoning, elections, etc. 42% of the budget is focused on ensuring we are managing the taxpayer dollars more effectively. That includes securing grants, paying down debts, and looking for opportunities to reduce costs, as in bond refunding. About 7% of our budget is focused on supporting the quality of life that Bolton residents rely on, like social services, libraries, and veteran services. Any questions? No. Next page. The next slide provides a high-level view of how Bolton Selectmen's portion of the town budget is allocated. As you can see, the largest portion of the budget supports personnel services, debt obligations, highway operations, and town building operations. Those areas represent the core services and operational costs required to keep the town functioning day to day. We also see notable allocations for refuse services, administration, capital reserves, and building and land use, which support both daily operation and long-term planning. The remaining slice of the chart represents smaller departments, boards, and services that together make up a relatively small portion of the overall budget, but are still important for supporting town operations. A lot of little numbers there. Next page. There's no questions. This slide gives a picture of significant drivers of the $290,000 3.06 increase in the budget year over year. Payroll and personnel services represent the larger increase, which is tied to supporting our existing town employees or adding employees that we need to effectively support town operations. The office operating expenditures you see here represent expenditures from software acquired for the assessor's office, which is QDS billing, veterans exemptions and exemption programs, vision, CAMA software and real estate tracking software. Vision Data Scout web access. So there's a lot of programs in there. The proposed fire protection budget represents an approximate 10% increase that is due to salary and benefit adjustments. The town pays 85% of the resident state trooper's salary and benefits, and the state covers the remaining portion. Overtime costs are incurred for town events, parades, road race, special events, but overtime worked on state patrol is paid by the state. Official administrative services reflects about 8% reduction within the administrative budget. In previous years, the selectmen's budget covered the cost of board clerks and other boards and commissions, veterans, ethics, town meetings, et cetera. For year 2027, those expenditures have been moved to their respective budgets, and the FY27 budget represents what we expect to spend on out-of-state board clerks next year. The separation fund is utilized to compensate department employees who, one more time, departing employees for unused sick time. Historically, we have funded this annually at $50,000. For 2027, we decided to fund this at $25,000, given the existing balance has been deemed sufficient at $231,000. We have budgeted a 17.44% reduction in the budget for property and liability insurance. This is due to a combination of reduction in premiums, in addition to shifting the Bolton water pollution control insurance to the Bolton water pollution control budget. Any questions there? Okay, next. This is just a budget increase that's shown by department. If there's no questions there, pretty much what we just went over. We can move on to the next slide. And this is just a continuation of the smaller budgets compared to the first page, which had the larger ones. And then the next slide represents budget decreases by department. Well, there's no questions. We can move on to the next page. In addition to understanding how the funding is allocated, it is also helpful to understand how the town's paid staff are organized to deliver services. This slide provides a high-level overview of the town's organizational structure for position under the Board of Selectmen. The Selectmen's office provides overall leadership and coordination across the departments. From there, town operations are carried out through several key function areas. Each department plays a specific role in delivering services, from maintaining infrastructure and facilities to supporting town governments and regulatory responsibilities. This chart also highlights that the town operates with a relatively small staff across these functions, with many employees covering multiple responsibilities. So if you're looking at that chart and you see the initials, acronyms, FTE, that represents full-time employees. That doesn't mean that they're all full-time employees. A lot of the employees for summer help are part-time at the lake. They're part-time. So they kind of like go by hours instead of actual people.
What does the BAA3 under boards and commissions mean?
Board of Assessment and Appeals.
They receive a stipend.
So is that three FTEs or is that, what's the three?
Where are you?
The bottom center.
You know, they receive a stipend similar to the selectmen, so you wouldn't really call them FTEs, just the way that we didn't with the selectmen.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the three means.
Yeah.
There's three persons.
There's three people okay. there. Yeah.
Okay, next. How the town's budget compares to the cost of services since 2016. This slide provides long-term context for the proposed budget. To make a fair comparison over time, We adjusted each year's budget for inflation, so we're looking at everything in today's dollars. Taking 2016 as an example, the 2016 budget was 6.8 million, which would be about 9.2 today when adjusted for inflation. The blue line represents our proposed budget for year 27, which is 9.8 million, or about 6.5% higher than the inflation-adjusted 2016 budget. Over 11 years, that's more less than 1% per year, showing 1% per year, or cost of what's CARG, CG,
Either
huh?
cumulative annual growth rate.
Oh, cumulative annual growth rate, okay, of 0.58% per year, showing that even with rising costs, the town has kept budget growth very modest. Now, you've got to keep in mind there's a lot of government influence on mandates and so forth that continue to get added and changed, like extended early voting and stuff like that. I mean, they just, any questions on that?
And to just to clarify, this is comparison year over year of just the Board of Selectmen's budget, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, next slide. Before we review the individual capital projects, this slide provides a high-level summary of the FY27 capital requests from both the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen. As mentioned earlier in our presentation, the Board of Selectmen presents the Board of Ed capital projects because we are responsible for maintaining and caring for school properties. The Board of Education has submitted capital projects totaling $176,500. Which focuses primarily on maintaining school facilities and equipment. The Board of Selectmen capital program totals $875,015 and includes projects related to town buildings, infrastructure, and municipal assets. You also see the past project reallocation of about $287,000. This reflects capital projects from prior years that ultimately came in under budget, allowing those funds to be returned and applied to the current capital plan. After accounting for the adjusted, the net FY27 capital request is approximately $764,000. And of course, we're mandated by the charter to spend at least 1% of, or 1 mil of our budget, which should be 600,000, something to that effect. Any questions on that? Next page. So these are the capital proposals for the Board of Selectmen. So we got a grant match. That 145,000 is, we got a grant to do the bridge on whatever that road is, and
Lyman,
and we got a grant for 1.4 million, and we have to pay the match, so we're trying to get our portion of the money together. And then the engineering, we have to pay for the engineering, so we wanted to get that underway. A new pickup for buildings and grounds. They live out of these things. They use them to no end. A new town hall vehicle. There's a couple that are in pretty sad shape.
Well, my understanding of that buildings and grounds pickup too is that was something that was brought back from almost the dead from highway, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They rebuilt it.
Yeah.
And then they got a laser guided grading system that our town employees can do a little bit more work without subcontracting it out. And the assessor office reevaluation, which I think we have to do that every year. So we just put a little bit of money away every year to try to rather than get hammered at the end. And to continue on the Board of Selecting capital proposals, our temporary modular office building with its pretty much just a lease number you're looking at. There's some gear that the firemen, when they wash their gear. It has to go through a commercial washer. It's a big event. Indian Notch, we wanted to put a storage shed up there for all the kayaks and equipment that now is stored all over the place. The firehouse, in order to upgrade to match everybody else's radios, they've been working on these. I think they already did some, and we're trying to replace them. So this is half, and then I think the other half is it's not half. We've already paid some, but I think with this 49, and then there's
We did
another
over 3 years.
three, right? And then our highway excavator, we got that on a lease, so that would be the lease, and that's only I don't know how long we have to pay on that, but it's only 3 or 5 years or something. It's not that long. The town hall building, if you look during the day, you'll see that it really needs some attention. And the troopers building next door, if you look at that, it really needs some attention. So we're not asking for anything huge on any of these. And then the Board of Ed, the HVAC assessment. Did you want me to save this part for your?
No, I actually cut it out of mine because it was in yours.
Okay, so I'll tell you
You can
how you
provide
spend it.
more comments,
Sure. Every year we try to put 6,000 away because one of the new things they came out with from COVID is you have to have your air ducts tested, and it's very expensive. So we just put a little bit away every year. So that's for the center school. The high school is another one. They need a handicap van replacement, so we're putting that out for 2 years. They need a new plow, so we got that in there. And then the heating pumps at the high school, they're 15 years old, 12 years old. They're starting to fall apart or break, so we wanted to start putting money in there for those. Any questions? So next page. So this is a surrounding town comparison. And we're in a good spot for us. So with this slide, we wanted to put Bolton's budget in context by comparing it with other towns. Bolton's per resident spending is higher than surrounding towns, $2,011 per resident, whereas average of other towns is 1,553. Bolton's budget increase for year 2027 is more closely aligned with inflation that many surrounding towns. It's more closely re aligned with inflation than many surrounding towns. With inflation around 2.4%, the real increase is well under 1%. If per capita spending is questioned, since Bolton is a smaller community, some fixed costs are spread across fewer residents, which can make per capita figures appear higher. What is important is the comparison is of this comparison is to show that Bolton is keeping pace with rising costs rather than expanding spending. Next page.
So just I had a question on this under the column that says FY 2027 budget. Is that just the equivalent of a Board of Selectmen's budget in each one of those?
Yes.
Okay, it's not the total budget. Okay, just wanted to make sure.
And next page. Thank you. 3.06. That's the number. And there's one more slide too, isn't there?
It's a summary.
All right, is there any other questions?
I want to go back to one question on slide 9, having to do with the payroll increase. So in the details, it calls it attributed to cost of living adjustments, but my understanding from the BOS discussions was that's a combination of raises that haven't been approved by the board yet and other things. Is there a list of what those raises are for specific employees and departments so that we can review that and figure out how much of that is cost of living and how much of that is salary increases?
Nope.
Can we get
No,
one?
we just threw in there's several employees that have not, they're not union employees, they're not
Right.
union employees, and we just use 3% because that's what the union increases were. So we
That's
just carried
inconsistent
that.
with the discussion that Gwen had with Jim here during the
I
Board of
understand.
Selectmen.
That's what we're talking about, right?
But it wasn't 3%.
I think it was, well, it might have been 2.75.
No, there were specific dollar amounts in, as part of that discussion that were more than 3%.
I haven't seen those yet. I can get that information
Okay,
for you,
that would be good to have.
possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have an actual breakdown. Have you seen that?
Not by person, I have, like, I've seen by department.
Would Jill have anything on that one?
Jill, are you there?
Ask, but no, I don't know what that number makes up, so I can't help you.
Okay. And
I didn't make that number up, so I don't know what it represents.
Okay. We'll have to drum that one up.
So we're having another meeting possibly next week, so we would want to have that by
Yeah,
our next
that's why I
meeting.
bring it up now.
Any other questions for Selectman Fournier? Seeing no hands raised online and none in the room. Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you.
And we will move on to Superintendent Caruso for his presentation. So let me stop sharing this one and I will start sharing the next one. Hold on a sec, let me find it.
Is this the one that you sent out on Monday?
This is the most up to date.
Yeah, maybe I'll over.
Not that.
The same, it's one is the budget book and one is my slide deck. So that's the budget book in detail.
Oh,
and that's the slide deck that I'll go over right now.
About
It's open somewhere.
You might have opened this.
This, so this Google Docs. There we go. The slideshow, please.
Okay, good.
Let me share it. So hold on a sec. Go back.
That's great.
Share.
It looks awesome.
Great.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before family helpful.
Yeah.
We can visit the
Preferred.
So any line item that went up or down $100 or more,
Yeah.
there's a question and answer.
No, it's great.
Okay. We are in.
Don't throw this tonight.
Okay, good. Thank
You are, sir. Where are you giving me time?
I didn't say anything. I was talking about it.
Good evening, everybody. First Selectman Fournier, awesome job. I appreciate you going first and taking the lead. And you did a nice job, kind of, I think, painting the picture of why we're here tonight. And it's my pleasure to present the Board of Education's recommended budget for FY26-27. Everything we do is aligned to our strategic plan, which I'll talk about in a little bit, as well as our portrait of a graduate. Our strategic plan is geared towards making sure that our graduates all meet these requirements. And we talk about these with the students all the time, and we try to embed them in our lesson plans K through 12. Obviously, more of a focus in high school on these skills, but these are skills that we feel if our students can excel at these skills and they can go out into the workforce, into the community, and be successful at whatever career path they choose. So, meeting agenda, we're going to talk about a little bit about why we're here. I'm going to expand on that in a little bit. I'll go over the strategic plan that guides our discussion around budget. I'll talk a little bit about our budget process and how we get to our number, celebrate some accomplishments, talk about our current enrollment and future enrollment, review the expenditures, look at some area comps, as did the town side, and some final thoughts and take some questions. I'm just going to keep going. If you have questions, feel free to interrupt me or stop me. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep going. Okay. Okay. So, why are we here? I know when my family moved to Bolton, we moved to Bolton for the schools. and as coming back here now and having the pleasure to serve as a superintendent, when I've spoken to families, most families that I speak to and ask them why I do live in Bolton, the most common answer I get is because of the schools. And I know that our schools are the pride of Bolton. And there's a lot of things to celebrate in Bolton. There's a lot of things to be proud of, as First Selectman Fournier indicated before. But I'm a firm believer that our schools is at the top of the list. The schools is something that I think brings a tremendous amount of pride to this town and the residents and the students. When I talk to the students in small groups, they beam with pride in talking about their school and their town. It's a really unique, special place. And that's why I'm here tonight. One of our goals as a Board of Education is to champion the needs of our school system, be responsible stewards of the public's investment. We understand that this is an investment that the town makes in our school district and in our children. And we take that very, very seriously. Just want to show you a couple snapshots early on of some students at school. We have them participating, obviously, in a volleyball match. And then the picture on the right is student leaders at the beginning of the year doing a bigs and littles, welcoming the ninth grade students in. One thing I think that our high school does an unbelievable job of is fostering student leadership and putting our kids in positions where they can discover new talents, skills, take on challenges. I think the small environment fosters that, and it allows students to step out of their comfort zone a little easier. And when they do that, I think that's when real growth and discovery happens for our kids. Some things going on in elementary school. We want our schools to be a place where students want to come, where they feel connected to the staff, where they feel valued, cared about, and pushed and held accountable. Even though they may not say those things, we know that that's what they need, and that's ultimately what they want. One of my favorite pictures here is on the top left. You see students on a Friday morning. I walked down the hallway. I was visiting the school one Friday morning, and I walked into a Friday morning dance party. That's how that elementary hallway was getting their day started. So again, the teacher is getting the kids moving, getting them excited to start their day. All right, these are the belief systems that kind of drive all of our actions as Board of Education. I won't read through them verbatim, but ultimately what it talks about is the importance that we put on education and making sure that we give our kids the high quality educational experiences, not only that they need, but that they deserve. And we do look at it as an indispensable community investment in the future. It's really neat when I talk to families that grew up in Bolton, and then they may have gone to school or maybe moved out of town for one reason or another, and then they relocate to raise their family here and put their kids through the same school system that they went through. And that, I think that speaks volumes to the love people have for this town, and for very good reasons. Like I said, the school and a lot of other things that this town has to offer. I also want to point out one of the bullets here, that all students have value and the right to an education that meets their academic, physical, and social emotional needs. And we take a lot of pride in making sure that we provide all the services for every single student in Bolton. And we know as the world is changing around us, as are the needs of our children. And we need to be adaptable. We need to be flexible. And we need to be able to identify what those needs are and then align the resources that each one of our children needs so they can be as successful as they possibly can in schools. And that lives throughout the budget here. You'll see that. What makes BPS so special? Our identity. And so right now we're in the process of developing our new 5-year strategic plan, and members of that team creating the plan, our first selectman, Mr. Fournier, is on there. We have Board of Education members. We have parents, students, administrators, teachers. We have a really nice variety of perspectives on that. And we sat around and we talked about at the beginning, one of our first meetings, we talked about why is Bolton so special? What is our identity? And these are some of the things that were really common themes. And what's interesting is I meet with students once a week in small groups. It's been eighth graders and seniors predominantly this year. And they say a lot of the same things that the adults said. And it was really neat to see that alignment and that coherence and that consistency really between the adult perspective and the child perspective, which I know, well, we all know that that's not always the case. Adults and students don't always have the same perspective. But I think this is neat. And one of the things that stands out is the small class sizes, the strong sense of pride in the town and the school, and the relationships that exist in our school district from student to student, student to adult, and adult to adult. This is a snapshot of some of the survey results we got from students, staff, and families. Overall, the responses were fantastic. They were really positive. This is something that the administrative team with their school leadership teams take very, very seriously. They look at the results over the summertime and they try to hone in on a couple areas that we can really look to put in strategies to improve. And these were some of the highlighted things that we saw. And again, overall, I think what it says is it speaks to the general sense from families, from students and staff that Bolin's a pretty awesome place to live, work, and go to school. The mission of Bolin Public Schools is to inspire all students, again, all, to grow as learners, individuals, and citizens. And that, again, in this ever-changing landscape with AI and everything that's going on in our world today, that's a really changing landscape. And so that takes some us being agile and adjusting with the times. Our vision statement, I'm not going to read it to you. It's right there. But again, it talks about the development of skills once again. And that's also something in our strategic plan that's come up a lot in our conversations. Our kids need those soft skills. They need those transferable skills to be able to enter the real world outside of school and be successful in anything that they choose to do, whether it's a trade, whether it's college, or something different. The strategic plan that we currently are working under has four big buckets, I call them. Student success, caring culture, talent development, and resource stewardship. And in our district, each one of our principals is responsible for developing a school plan that aligns with these four buckets. And they have action steps in these four buckets and how we're going to improve in these areas. Most of them are driven by data. They also use their teacher leaders as part of their team to develop the strategies that they're going to incorporate for the course of the year. We also have each department do this. So our special ed department does it. Our director of teaching learning has one. So we each have a plan that's aligned to our strategic goals and our strategic plan. And so we want to make sure that there's coherence in all the work that we're doing in our school. And what's really important about that is we want to make sure that everybody that works in Bolin Public Schools understands what that is, understands where we're going, why they're doing what they're doing, and they can see their role each day, no matter what it is in the building, connected to our overall plan. This is just a little snapshot of what each one is. And obviously we're here to present the budget. So resource stewardship is one of those buckets. And champion the needs of our school system, be responsible stewards of the public's investment. Again, we know that and understand and appreciate what an investment this is from the public. And we have worked really, really hard with our team to make sure that we're making decisions that are both meet the needs of our students and are also fiscally responsible. Our budget approach, make decisions grounded in what administrators, principals, and teachers need to maximize student learning and provide the high quality education that our students deserve. Students and teachers and administrators are in the trenches, they're in the schools and the classrooms every day. They know best what our kids need. Focus on ROI. This is a term I think maybe my team is getting a little sick and tired of hearing, but when I came on board, we took a look at everything in every role in the district and had a conversation around what is the ROI in this role. And you'll see with some of the reductions that we made already that there were some areas that we identified that we could possibly maximize resources somewhere else and could have a little bit of cost savings. And as the town does, zero-based budgeting. Our budget development process. I'd like to tell you this slide is a little misleading because it says October. Really, this budget process started for me last spring when I started attending these meetings. And then watching the budget process over the summertime, my wheels were turning on what we were going to do when we came into the school year to make sure that we were preparing a budget that was, again, meeting the needs of our kids and fiscally responsible. Officially in October, teacher leaders met with the building principals, instructional coaches, and they put together their list of needs and priorities. The principals would then review those needs and priorities, and they brought them to myself and the central office team. Once they came to us, and El Casal probably got a little sick and tired of seeing me because we spent day after day after day, meeting after meeting after meeting, looking through all these things and trying to decipher, you know, again, what are the priorities? What are the main things that our kids and our teachers need? One of our major roles in central office is we want to create the conditions for teachers to be successful and do their jobs. And so between December and January, put all this information together, we revise it a couple hundred times, and then finally put it into our budget proposal to the Board of Education. Some economic factors. I love the comparison that the first selectman did of the past 10 years and inflation, what that looks like. I'm going to add that next year. But some of the things that really have impacted, and you'll see it a little bit later in the total numbers, the health insurance is a big one, projected at 13 to 15%. That is a pretty big increase. I think it's worth noting that area superintendents are experiencing higher percentages than that. I met with somebody the other day, and they just gave up a 43% increase for health insurance. So 13 to 15 is not a great number, but relatively speaking, it is not as bad as many of the numbers out there. Transportation cost, when I did this, it was at least 15%. We have, since last week, the board elected to, they selected our new vendor for transportation, and Casal and I had our first negotiation meeting with our attorney the other day. And so that is still undetermined what that increase is going to be, because the new contract hasn't been finalized yet. And then Connecticut minimum wage, when that increases, it just bumps everybody up. So that has an impact on the totality of the budget.
Can you go back for 1 second?
Yes, I think so.
Just hit the back here. Yeah. The 13 to 15% increase, is the health insurance the same as the town? Like, does...
Yes.
Okay, so we know what that number is now based on...
We don't know what the blended number is yet.
Okay.
So there's the number, then there's a blended number for retired people that are on the plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, understand.
We've made a few requests for it, and we're hoping to get it any day now, right?
So... Okay, because we had gotten an updated number, I think it was early last week, so that was reflected in the budget. I think the number was 12.7%.
We got a similar
0.7.
Yeah. We got a similar number, but the blended number,
0.3.
No,
okay. Yeah, but the blended number is going to be different.
Okay,
I don't know if it's going to be different up or down.
That's good context.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome. It's a good question. I know the answer because I just asked us all the same question. special education impact. I know that it really is something that is very volatile with special education.
Excuse me, sir. When would you have that blended number?
We put another request in yesterday.
Yeah, we're hoping.
He said this week he's working on it this week.
Okay, because we're meeting again next week on Thursday. So again, I'd like to see what you guys could do. Same thing with anything that we ask the Board of Selectmen and Board of Ed, if you both can see what you can do to get it by Thursday next week.
I'm cautiously optimistic we'll have it for next Thursday. Special education costs. Yeah.
Jumped over the enrollment slide by accident.
I did.
Unless it's a different order.
Oh, there's a different order.
It might be a different order. Okay. Sorry.
All right.
Okay. Special education impact, that is one that can change day to day based on student needs, based on students that might move into town or move out of town. So that does change quite a bit. Our director of student services has done an unbelievable job of making sure, that our students get every single service that they need. While keeping it at a 1.3% increase, which is incredible. Most districts are well over 3%. Some of the key factors in why that happens, it doesn't happen by accident. We don't get lucky. I think we have a fantastic identification process in place in our district. We also have a tiered level of support system to make sure that kids are getting the supports that they need before we move to maybe an official IEP or a 504, and making sure that we're doing a lot of data gathering, fact finding, and learning as much as we can about each child to know exactly what they need before we move into a formalized plan. So I give our team in town and our schools a lot of credit for that. Here's our Bolton Schools enrollment, our current and our projected for 26-27 by grade. And what you can see there is it fairly levels off. I think this is an important slide also, not that the other slides aren't important, but we have done a lot of work around trying to partner with Columbia, and we've made a lot of efforts and had strategies and plans in place and visits and shadow days and a lot of different things to try to attract Columbia students here. We are getting more Columbia ninth graders this year than we did last year, which is a good thing. But if you look at their enrollment, they have a couple years where their numbers are okay, and then there's a pretty significant drop off. And I think you could see this, maybe not this drastic. You would see this trend in most towns. I think South Windsor is one where their enrollment is actually increasing. Most other districts have declining enrollment.
Do we have an idea of historical Columbia enrollment? Because I know for a while it was higher, and then it kind of dipped down to almost very few students and then came back up.
Another good question. What's made that challenging is they've added additional options for Columbia students. So this is the second year that RAM is an option for them. So, you know, they have.
So are both RAM and EO.
RAM, EO Smith. And then Wyndham. There's the Craig schools. There's Wyndham Tech. There's Cheney Tech. There's East Catholic. They have a lot of options. And so it's a bad combination for us. If you look at this graphic, there are a lot of options and there are fewer students to pull from moving forward. This slide illustrates the Columbia students that currently that we're projecting to be at the high school for this upcoming 26-27 school year, the associated tuition, and how that is allocated.
So it's the same tuition for all the grades then?
Yes. Some of the
per student tuition?
Pardon me? Yes, per student, yes. Enrollment factors I talked about in Columbia, enrollment decreasing. Currently, we have 10 students being homeschooled, 31 students at magnet schools, 14 students at BOAG schools and tech schools, which we paid for transportation. And then the open choice program for students in Hartford to be able to select Bolton, that also is decreasing. And it's not just happening to Bolton for a couple reasons. There are more towns participating in the open choice program. So the Hartford students and families also have additional choices. And the reality is a lot of those choices are closer to Hartford than Bolton is. With that being said, last year we had one kindergartner in the open choice program, and this year we have three. So that is nice. And all three of those and then we have another student in first grade, another student in second grade. So that's five students coming in, and all five of those students, Bolton was their first choice. So they have to list their choices, and Bolton was their top choice. So we're really excited about that.
Got to be more efficient for them too. Bring in five kids instead of one.
Yes. Yes. Yep. So we welcome the Columbia students. Our team went over to Columbia, went over to Horace Porter Middle School last week and brought them like a bag with some swag in it, some Bolton High School gear to welcome them to our school. And we're doing the same thing for the students that live in Hartford in the open choice program. We have some stuff putting together for them. The principals are reaching out personally and calling the families to welcome them to Bolton and do whatever we can to make sure that they're both those transitions are as smooth as they possibly can be for the kids.
Thank you for that.
Some accomplishments. Again, I won't read through all of these, but I bolded some words that I think kind of stick out a little bit and highlight some of the things that are going on in our school district that we're really proud of. A couple things worth noting: highest AP passing rate in 5 years. That's fantastic. Kudos to the high school.
Do you know off the top of your head how many AP classes Bolton offers now?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can get the number for you if you like. Refinement of high quality interventions. Again, we talked about that before, making sure we have a multi-tiered system of supports for students. Top left, Bolton High School. Once again, Connecticut School Distinction, Category 1 school. I will say, out of all the high schools that Horace Porter students have to choose from, Bolton High School is the only Category 1 school. And then student engagement and service. I think this is something I don't want to say is unique to Bolton, but I think it's kind of special in Bolton. We have a great partnership, I believe, with our senior center. And our culinary students go over there and cook a nice Thanksgiving dinner. They have them over here for a cookie event. They do a lot of things, I think, with the community. A lot of our events, I feel like when I go to them, the whole town's there. I think it's really special that that's what makes Bolton, I think, a really unique place. You look at the percentage of students. Another thing, if you want to get an idea of how students feel about their school, look at their extracurricular participation. And our extracurricular participation, whether it's drama club, athletic teams, or different clubs and activities, is through the roof. The percentage is ridiculously high. And that shows you that our kids want to be part of the school. Again, like I said before, they make the school their own for the 4 years that they're here, which is pretty neat. Student performance, we're really proud of this. This is at the K-8 school for SBAC.
What's SBAC?
SBAC is Smarter Balanced Assessment. So they do an assessment for reading, an assessment for math, and also an assessment for science. Although science is not called SBAC, science is next generation, NGSS, Next Generation Science Standards.
So this is the equivalent of what, like CAPT or
CAPT,
CMTs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, CMTs.
Which are like two
things. Yeah.
Right. So you can see the trends. We're moving in the right direction, making some pretty good jumps. And I would say, like, if you see a 2 to 3% increase, that's cause for serious celebration. And you can see that in a lot of our years. And obviously science made an even bigger jump with that, which is really neat. So the Next Generation Accountability Index is your report card. It's a district report card, a district scorecard. And so they have many categories like student attendance, chronic absenteeism, performance in math, reading, science, four-year graduation rate. There's a lot of things that go into this calculation. And then they give you a total score at the bottom. And our total score is 79.5.
And that's out of...
It's out of 100.
Okay.
Yep. And the state of Connecticut average is 71.6. And that average of 79.5 also is really competitive with all area districts, outpacing many. Per pupil expenditure, and you can look right here, we fall right in the middle of the pack of these towns. The Derg average is 23.8. And we fall just shy of that. And we're just shy of the state average as well.
And DRG is?
District Reference Group.
And I know you're used to the acronyms.
Yes, there's a lot of
them I know already, and a lot of them I don't, and I'm sure the public doesn't get them either.
It's fair to point out that if you look across a state, the smallest towns typically have larger per pupil expenditures. Because, for example, if you have one student that costs receives a lot of services, the cost for that student to educate that student might be really, really high, and then have a disproportionate impact on the total per pupil expenditure than if that student was in a school district with 11,000 students.
So this includes the cost of special ed?
Yes.
Special needs, I should say. Yep. So here's my question for you, because I look at this and I see 23,411 for the average cost. And then I saw the tuition that you showed that we're charging Columbia for 15,000. So that's about $8,000 less.
Yes.
What makes up the difference that we are charging them less for tuition than what we, our own per student cost here?
That is a great question. I don't have an answer to that question. I know that was, I'm going to assume when we went into the agreement with Columbia, that was the negotiated rate. I will also say that Ram and E.L. Smith, who also have a partnership with Columbia, their tuition rates are very, very similar to ours, which is also much lower than their per pupil expenditure.
I think it's been increasing since they started.
It does increase, yes. Yep. Yep. And I think E.O. Smith and Ram are within hundreds of dollars of us, I believe. They're pretty similar.
Columbia tuition, their yearly increases follows the Northeast U index. So that's what the increase is for tuition for the following year.
So would you guys be able to come back next week with just the details that go into that difference?
Sure.
Just so if it is contractual, what's the contract look like now? What's it look like going forward and so forth? And I mean, and part of this is it fair to say that we have a sunk cost in our schools and you're better to get some utilization from other towns versus none? I just want to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that would be the case. I only say that because I have to imagine when our partnership started with Columbia, that the tuition rate was lower than per pupil, but that's speculation on my
part. Well, it's fine if you can find out, because it just gets me curious when I see that much of a difference between what we, you know, basically are charging taxpayers for students here versus taxpayers from another town.
Fair question. I'm not saying this would be the whole difference, but would per pupil also include transportation where tuition does not include
transportation? Tuition does not include the tuition does not include transportation.
And I also believe it doesn't include special needs because they picked that cost up.
Yeah, they do.
So then I know that's two. So if you can just give us that breakdown of what goes into that, because some of it sounds contractual and some of it sounds that Columbia is picking up other costs that we're not.
In the background.
So just so that we understand, because if I look at that quickly and I see these two numbers, I'm thinking we're sticking it to ourselves. Yeah. And I just want to make sure that we understand the context that number is in.
Good question. Okay, so that gets us into the numbers and where we landed. So where we started, like I said, we started in the fall. We had all the requests come to us, and this is where we started. We went into round two. If you look at page 55 in the budget book, that gives you a breakdown of all of them. I just highlighted some of the reductions that we made. So four positions in the district were impacted. An admin assistant at central office, a special education paraeducator, a paraeducator in the high school library, and a building substitute teacher at the high school.
So just to look at these, the two that are for special ed and for the paraeducator, are those reductions because you just don't happen to need the position?
Well, right? One of them is. The other one is currently staffed.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that was like some of the questions that we've had in the past, because sometimes these are presented as savings that are, you don't ask the question, they may look like they're structural, but they're really based on the fact that the population of special needs students changes. So some of these could go up again in the future.
Correct. The admin assistant position is fully staffed right now. It's going to go down to a 0.5. The building substitute teacher, there's somebody currently in that role, and that role is being eliminated. The special education paraeducator, you're correct. Right now, IEP needs don't dictate that we need this position. That could change if a student requires an IEP next October.
So then would it be fair to say that the admin assistant and the building substitute teacher are structural changes?
Yes.
That you have eliminated the position unless something were to change significantly with more students or something like that.
Yes, we're having somebody else pick up those responsibilities.
Okay.
Yes.
So how many building subs does the high school currently have? Is it just that one?
Two, and now they'll be down to one. Some other budget adjustment highlights. I don't know if highlights is the right term, maybe, but these are hard decisions that we had to make. There were some stipend positions at both schools that I thought we could have other people pick them up in lieu of, so we were able to have some savings there. I took a look at the expenses out of the superintendent's office with different professional learning opportunities from different conferences and things like that. I'm going to focus my attention on other areas for professional learning opportunities that are more cost effective. Virtual high school credit recovery, we'll be able to reduce that by $5,000. We're not able to fund an athletic trainer, unfortunately, and that has become hard to fund anyways. And we're able to reduce the bus monitor as well. I want to give a five-year look back. I know I've heard a lot of conversations around student enrollment. Declining student enrollment doesn't automatically mean you need less staff. I know that might sound silly, but whether you have 18 kids in a chemistry class or 12 kids in a chemistry class, you still need the teacher. And so it's a little misleading to think that just because you don't have as many students, you don't need as many staff. There were opportunities where we saw here where we may be able to reduce staff a little bit and pick up in other areas. So we did that, but it doesn't always equate to you have 10 fewer students this year and you need three fewer teachers. It's not that clean, but I wanted to provide a five-year look back of position reductions over the past 5 years. You can see there was a considerable amount of positional reductions, including the ones that we just made for next year. 9.2 FTEs total. The impact of reductions. So Casal and I worked on, trying to wrap my brain around what does it mean to our overall budget percentage increase if we save $10,000 or $15,000? What does that look like? So I gave the breakdown of what a 0.25% reduction would look like. We have to save $42,000 in order to reduce the budget by 0.25%. So that gave me great context. If I say to myself, all right, if I'm looking to get to, if I make this reduction, I ask us all a million times, if I reduce this, what's my percentage? So she just came up with this formula to make it a little easier for me to follow. And maybe this would be something that could help guide the finance committee when making future decisions. But as you can see, to reduce by 1% is very costly. And $168,000 reduction isn't going to happen with us buying less paper. Reductions of this magnitude are people and programs for kids.
So this would be fair to say, going back to that, if you took 168,000 out, that's at least one position.
At least. That's yes.
Depending whether they're full-time or part-time and such.
That would be a position. And depending on the position, it would be at least a position and then some. Yes. Overall expenditure plan, you can see where the breakdown is. Again, salary and insurance is where most of our costs live. I'll get to that another slide in a minute that illustrates that even better. Contractual obligations, that's contractual salary increases. Health and dental insurance amounts for $761,941 of the increase. What is a little disheartening is, working really hard to put this budget together, and where there's an overall reduction is in regular instruction. And as a superintendent of schools, that's where I'd love to see us pouring resources into regular instruction. But because of outside influences and fixed costs that we have no control over, we're not able to do that. So the impact of all these expenditures and reductions, the FY27 proposed increase is $866,066, which is a 5.17% increase. I think the next number is also critical. Of that 866, 761,941 is just salary and health insurance. So we started this process with just salary and health insurance, which we had no control over, at a 4.54% increase before we did anything. So we really didn't start at 0% and build our budget from there. We started at 4.54 and try to work from there.
So when you say you have no control over it, I understand the health insurance part, the salary part. What makes you say that's you have no control over the salary?
Well, the salaries are collective bargaining salaries.
So they're union.
In union contract.
They're all union? There's no, it's the same question from before.
We have about six non-affiliated.
Okay.
But I mean, I would say 90 something percent of this number is union contracts. Yeah, another good question, Dave. So local area, I know First Selectman Fournier showed his for some area towns. I know there was a couple missing because you didn't have them yet, but I do have the Board of Ed numbers. And as you can see, our number is lower than most surrounding towns. Vernon is an outlier at 2.88. They fall in the category of an alliance district, and they receive a lot of funding from the state. Much of the budget is funded by the state.
And this Hebron number doesn't include RAM.
Correct. Hebron number is just the elementary schools.
And that would be the same for
Andover as well. Yep. Projected revenues from grants. Those are estimations going into next year. Shared efforts to reduce expenses. I've talked to Jim Rupert and Rodney over the course of this year. We do have many shared services in place right now, and we're always looking to see if we can have some efficiencies and cost savings with shared services. We'll continue looking at that. And again, I wanted to end with some of our students, because at the end of the day, this is why we're here. This is why we do what we do and go to work every day, to make sure that every single student in this picture in our schools gets the best possible educational experience that they can get and that they deserve.
Any expense?
Thank you, I got.
Yeah. That's right.
Any questions for Superintendent Caruso? Sounds like we asked you a bunch.
That's okay.
During it. So what I have is takeaways for both the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Ed is for Board of Selectmen, the numbers going into that payroll, you know, increase. So they have a breakdown of it. And David, you said you wanted that by
role. It'd be helpful to have for by the next role. Discussion. Oh, by role?
Is, yeah, how did you
vote by department.
By department. Okay. And then I also had for this, you don't need to provide next week, your insurance increase for Board of Selectmen was 12.7%, correct? Okay. And then for Board of...
Which we've already included.
Yeah, you've already included that. Yeah. Right. So that may change your numbers then, David?
It could, yes. In
Caruso?
Yes, it could.
So if you could, if you get that next week, if you could come then, how to, you know, with that, how that affects your total and what that does to your increase.
Sure.
Just for... from recollection, it affected ours by about 0.2 or 0.3%, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So, Dave, did I kind of heard Scuttle that you had included the capital in your, the Board of Ed capital in your original budget?
No.
The deck? Oh, you did not?
No.
Yeah, he clarified that to me too, that it was presented in there, but it wasn't included in the budget. It was just to show folks.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it was in the presentation, but it wasn't in the dollar.
Got it.
Yep.
It's just an appendix item of
other. So then the other takeaways I had was, again, for a board, that if you get the you wanted the number of students enrolled in AP classes?
No, the number of classes. Offering, yeah. Offering.
Number of classes being offered.
Yeah.
And then again, asked if you could provide what drives your tuition for Columbia.
Yep. Got it.
So then I'm looking at the increase from the Board of Selectmen and from the Board of Ed, and I'm not going to do a weighted average with it, but it looks like if you put the two of them together, it's approximately a 4.5% increase overall of the, you know, expenditures compared to last year. And if, again, then we have to do, starting as a team next week, take a look at what our revenues are. That would offset it. And given, you know, if things stayed about the same on the revenue side, it looks like we'd be asking the taxpayers for a 4%, 4.5% increase in their taxes, you know, overall between Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen. So again, that's just a rough ballpark on my part because we haven't really looked at what are the revenues to offset this, and we have to start that process. And again, for the public who are listening, the last thing we do is go to the taxes. We look at what grants can we get to offset the costs of, you know, from the Board of Ed, Board of Selectmen. What other fees are charged that go in and can be counted as revenue? What carryover do we have from last year's budget that's going to go unused and that's been shrinking every year? So that gets put in, you know, effectively as revenue. The other thing we have to take a look at is interest income and estimate that. And again, interest rates have been falling. So again, this is all just the pieces that we have to start looking at before we can say what the official, you know, what the official first blush of mill rate or, you know, total tax increase might be. So I just want to caution folks that my numbers were just off the top of my head, looking at these presented and making a rough assumption that nothing much has changed in the grand list overall. Revenue is about the same. We, you know, but we still have to confirm all of this. So this is just sort of, it's in that area. And again, Board of Selectmen may come back with some additional reductions. Same thing with, you know, Board of, you know, Education. So more to come is just what I can say with, you know, that. And for folks to please pay attention and keep following this, because this is where it starts to get into some of the weeds where folks have more questions later on. And it gets kind of hard to explain it all in the public hearings if you haven't been following along with us to see what changes get made as we go along.
Also want to say thank you, because the, you know, it's incredible to see all this information boiled down into the two presentations and have that be pretty simplistic. compared to all the paperwork we've seen in the last couple of months.
Because that's one thing that the voters have said loudly and clearly, they want to have this simplified. And this is what the goal of the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen has been, is what is the value that I'm getting back for all of this tax money that I'm paying? You know, what's in it for me is what clearly what the public said they want. And they want to know where the increases are coming from, where the savings are coming from. You know, are they real numbers like their actual FTE reductions and so forth? So again, I wanted to thank both the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education for, you know, listening to our taxpayers and help us start down that road of, you know, more clarity, which is what they've asked for, simplified budgets and, you know, accountability. So I don't know if anybody has anything else to add, because that was just my little soapbox speech.
Jim Rupert was not here tonight, and that's why I'm presenting, although I was going to probably do it anyways, but he's out on some personal issues and he's unable to be here. So otherwise he was, so just wanted to make sure and give him his fair credit.
I feel like I'd be remiss. I know I mentioned Casal on our team, but I'd be remiss if I didn't share that the budget before you, the Board of Education budget, is a culmination of a lot of people having input. And from our district leaders, they really, you know, when I came in, they really had already a fiscal lens that they would look at everything through. And they're making sure that the dollars that they're spending and they're requesting are going right to kids and right for what we need. And, you know, even though we were able to make some really hard decisions and make some reductions, those are some challenging conversations, but they were all willing to say, okay, how else can we make these things work for our kids so we can make these reductions and not experience a significant loss in services to our students? So I give our team a lot of credit, and Casal especially, helping me first through my first budget season. And I was really impressed with the lens that everybody came to the table with.
And I do want to thank you, sir. And I do want to add one more takeaway for Board of Selectmen, because I did ask Superintendent Caruso what structural changes were made that mm-hmm. went into his reduction. I'd like to know the same thing for the Board of Selectmen, if there are any structural changes with how your team does business. You know, how was that, you know, accounted for in your budget? So the same type of thing. Did you rearrange the number of jobs based on need and so forth? Again, I don't know, but since I asked, you know, Superintendent Caruso, I'd ask you guys the same. If you can come back with that next week, you don't need to do it on the spot.
So our departments submit us a proposed budget, and then we just go over it and try to bring it down to what number we want. What gets reduced, we just, I don't think we've cut anybody's budget for the most part.
Yeah, I think from recollection, we obviously can do the accounting of this, like the changes in personnel, there was one position added and one position would have changed, which would have been direct director.
Yeah, and then you get the family plan versus single plan, and that's usually a big move. And the capital, we just moved one mower to 28, 29.
So the structural changes aren't the significant driver of, I think, our budget necessarily. It's more the materials that each of them.
So they're minimal then, basically. Okay. That's, I just want to ask, because I was asking Superintendent Caruso, so I just want to ask the same question of the, you know, Board of Selectmen, because that comes down to a lot of questions that folks have, is what are we doing to be more efficient with how we do things, as opposed to just, you know, say nickel and diming budgets here and there.
Credit where credit's due, though. So one of the things that we've talked about is the highway department head has mentioned that he's planning on retiring about this time next year. So there's been conversations about potentially combining two of the director positions between
buildings and grounds.
Highway, buildings and grounds, and making those
the two supervisory positions. Right. Okay, well, that's what I mean by
structural. So there are some that have potential for the future, but none that significant this cycle.
Okay.
Or maybe we can get you a small list of what we did.
If you could, that would be good for next week, because I know the public's going to want to know that, including what's coming up. Like you said, I wasn't aware of the fact that, you know, I know there's a retirement coming up. but I wasn't aware of your thinking that, you know, let's combine this like we've already done with the same position with being shared between the schools, that management position.
Right.
So this would be a further step in consolidating that. So again, that's very important for folks to know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just come up with that list and what you've done over the past few years along those lines, just the way Superintendent Caruso did, I think that would be really helpful to the public as well. So
I think most of that information is probably already there. It's just in the packet across different
pages. Backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm just saying. Yeah. It's just pull it. If you could pull it together, because it might be good then to add into the future presentation where we have to combine these two and, you know, do that. So.
And, you know, I'm just, it would be wonderful if the state would allow us to do this process every 2 years. We would save thousands of hours of manpower and referendums. And
we'd save a lot of volunteer hours too.
Yeah.
Being here, I'd be suspecting.
Okay. So just added that to your to-do list for that next week as you can move with those changes. All right. I guess we're ready to move on to. Since this is going to, it's a possibility of being a long night, I was going to ask if folks here would be comfortable with just going through, do we have anything that looks like it's non-conforming, that there's some issue in the budget that needs to be discussed? And I would ask that for both the Board of Selectmen and Board of Ed.
There's nothing exciting to share from the Board of Ed.
No transfers I see on here that are large enough to require our attention.
Correct.
So if we're okay with that as a group, would you guys want to move on then to our ongoing business?
Yeah, sure.
Good.
Because I think there's some other things I think we're going to want to talk about more. And can, you know, communication, the budget calendar, and so forth, and still get us out at a reasonable time and not chip the public on.
Is this the point where Jill would come in if she had anything to add?
I guess it is. Let me stop sharing.
I don't have anything to add.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. And
thank you, Jill. So then we move on to communication. So again, I just did an updated budget calendar based on our budget calendar. I went over it with Jill, town clerk, corrected a couple of dates that we had on there for notice for public hearings, and put that out. So that's also posted now at the library and at the senior center. We put it into the Bolton Bulletin. It was in the most recent Bolton Bulletin. And the town clerk also has copies of that schedule to hand out. So they're at the town hall, two other locations that have been distributed, you know, through the Bolton Bulletin.
And to be clear to you, that also includes the change in hours from the last year to this year that you distributed
for the voting. Registrar voters were voting.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. Also... I have to get that.
If you were counting that as a budget calendar or not.
No, I wasn't. That's separate, but that is posted. That was in the Bolton Bulletin. I'm going to get some copies over to the library, senior center. And
well, you were mentioning all the postings too, so I wasn't, again, sure if it was like one.
Yeah, no, it's included.
Okay.
It'll be distributed the same way.
It's, yeah, keep going. It's right above the packet. Keep going. One more. Right there.
Yeah, some of these things are hidden because we have a very large packet here.
Well, I'm wondering if, because we're getting different versions of things, maybe a date stamp on them so we don't get confused, and even people who have printed out at home, if they know.
Yeah. So, like, if you look at the bottom of the Board of Ed budget transfers, it has the date that it was printed.
Yep.
And you can default that in Word. Like, hey, I'm going to make that a form field. That would be helpful to have on most of these sheets of paper.
So, let's go into
multiple budgets sitting in front of us.
Well, that was an issue with the binders, too.
Yeah.
So, proper dating of documentation so that we know we're working with the latest version.
Yeah, right. Edition revisions, like knowing like
when it was printed, mostly.
So I'll just put version control.
Very fancy.
That's from
be configuration management.
Yeah, so I was going to go there too, having worked in Department of Defense, nuclear power industry, mm-hmm. and private manufacturing. It's like configuration management.
I like it.
So anything else under communication that we want to go over? Because the other thing that I did talk to Stephanie, I'm going to be working with her and doing a simplified version of our budget document, changing the order around and trying to combine both the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen's budget in a similar way that each did separately, try to do the same thing in the combined presentation. The first blush of which we will need for the public hearings, which are coming up pretty soon. So I'll be working with Stephanie on that to put those together. And hopefully before the public hearing, which, let me look at this, when's our first public hearing?
21.
Excuse me?
April 21st.
Yep.
So April 21st is the first one. So we should really be looking a couple weeks before that, if we can, to at one of our special meetings to take a look at that presentation, make sure that it looks good.
I think it would be then, like, you know, usually we'll get far enough into meetings that those if necessaries become canceled. So probably the last if necessary would be the presentation discussion. We can throw darts at it and see what we can improve.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is to talk about, you know, which of these at each meeting, which one do we feel is useful to have next? Because we have several different placeholder meetings. They're easier to cancel than find them. And sometimes we'll get to a point in the discussions. Like, I think next week we really do need to take a look at revenue. And then based on that discussion and where we are, is there any need to have the next meeting based on, are things going to change by then? Are we going to have more information than we have now? Because mm-hmm. I'd rather not waste our time on meetings when we're going to sit down and say, nope, the insurance agent hasn't gotten back to us. We still aren't sure what departments are giving back. And then you end the meeting. I'd rather just avoid that in the first place. So again, if I don't remember it, please ask at the end. It's just, let's take a look at the schedule and see what do we need to do. Anything that's under communication before we go on to the budget calendar? Because I think we talked about what do we have out there now, and then I'd like to be thinking about what else do we need to do in addition to the simplification of this budget. I think some of the other things that we've talked about too were, as we do each referendum, that we do a summary of it after, you know, what's the difference? Say we don't finish with one and we go on to number two. And there's a, you know, what's the difference between the first budget and the second one? What are the changes in percent and, you know, dollar from each one? Because the public has really found that was helpful in the past.
So question on the having the public find things helpful, the budget discussions, their special meetings, do you typically include a public comment in the beginning?
Yep. We should.
I think those would be valuable for, like, the figuring out what's actually valuable out of each of the discussions to the third parties that don't see this every meeting like we do.
And you also get some input that can help us too. You know, just happens to be not related to anything we asked about, but we didn't think about it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, concern to the public, and mm-hmm. I want to make sure we get them involved. Because the more we get done now and get the input, the better off we will be when we go to the public here. Oh, that's one other thing. Next coffee and conversation, have we scheduled that yet? Because we did one last month with our other meeting.
I don't have time for one in the near future.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we really should continue those as we get closer to the budget season. I don't know if you need to have them when we're having the public hearings, but maybe one more sometime in April.
Yeah, and well, the other thing might be too, after we get the budget approved, whenever that is, having one that's feedback on how that budget cycle went. That way we can get some discussion going about, you know, things that could be improved for the next year.
Okay.
Google with the date for a coffee conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, because we're talking about communication things, how to address help everybody feel heard when we know they express themselves in certain platforms, but aren't taking advantage of all these opportunities with these multiple meetings to show up and share things. Is there something else to
In what way?
a
Because we can do
piece
certainly can do things, and so you're saying like in the
ask
Bolton
them?
Bulletin or what? How you're talking about getting feedback or showing them what we've done?
People feel that they've been heard and they understand what's going on. So yeah, definitely the Bolton Bulletin. I don't know if you could do like a comment selection, share your feedback, like drop your comment, but it wouldn't be able to be physical because some people are talking about not being able to get to places, but want to be
So you're
voice
suggesting
their
like a
concerns.
Dropbox. Yeah.
Because we just
Get in a SurveyMonkey type of thing
like
that's
an
not.
electronic form
I know
paper.
it's tough,
I think it would probably
but
be good to do both if we could.
yeah.
Yeah, because not everyone is gonna, do something electronic.
Right.
So we
No.
need
Right.
to
You
think of
need the
those
paper and the
both of them.
electronic
We need to think
block.
of those folks.
So again, you could probably do something with putting a box in the library, another one in the town hall, and another one in the senior center. Something like
Yeah.
that, perhaps.
Drop your
Just
concern.
need to make sure we have the administrative controls required to make sure only the right people have access to it.
Right.
Then nobody goes and
Figure out who those right people are by
edits
any
it.
statutes.
So
I know it's tough.
that's the tricky part.
People have been, I've been, they express that when they share ideas on social media, that should be enough for us to work off of things. And it's not,
No.
because that is not an approved Bolton Town Communication Center, that
You
is
don't even
social
know if they're
media.
from town.
Exactly.
Right.
Correct.
So that's why I'm thinking, what are other ways to help them feel that they do have a way to do it when Thursdays at, 7:15 p.m. are tough.
We got a Tuesday set up like
I know.
or something, just Q&A or something with,
I
at
know.
Bolton, whatever, and then.
Well, I guess there are some times where we get like let's say a letter to the Board of Selectmen and that becomes part of either public comment or we have some
And we could certainly
conversations
read
about
those
it.
into the record
Yeah,
here.
correspondence. Yeah, correspondence. Thank you. That was the I was thinking discourse, and I don't think that was the word I wanted.
And occasionally I get some through the email that you can get from the website here
Yeah,
in the
there's a
town.
form somewhere on the website.
Like Jill got one, showed it to me. I think she forwarded that one to you. The person had questions about declining enrollment. Why do we still need schools here?
I called her yesterday and had a good
Okay.
conversation with her.
Yeah. So we do get some feedback, that way,
That's good.
through that. And it tends to pick up when we're actually starting doing the referenda, which is a little bit too late. Well,
Yeah.
it's
Right.
not too late, but it's,
No.
it's better now because
Right.
it's easier to course correct now than
Right.
it is later.
And we're not having free
Not during the
referenda
formative
or
period of the
referenda.
budget. Yeah.
Right.
So would one of you be able to look into that to see what you could do?
The box. I don't even know what it would.
No, it's just the reason is I've got some health issues I got to address. I'll talk to you about them later after the meeting, but it's going to take up some of my time. And I need to focus on taking care of myself, and I don't want to shortchange this. I've already talked to Tyler about some help I'm going to need from him. And like I said, I'll go into some more details afterwards with you guys. It's not, nothing's a secret. It's just I don't want to have it on the internet. So again, I need some help, and I like to delegate things because the more you understand and the more you know what goes into this, the more helpful you can be. Because I also like to do succession planning with this kind of stuff too, because I don't want to keep this job forever. And I do need some other people to be learning, the ropes with it and the ins and outs so that you guys can, take leadership positions if that's what you want, in it. And some of it is also working with your town committees, either the Republican town committee or the Democratic town committee, to start finding people, who have the time. And when I say the interest, I don't mean if you're not interested, that's not a bad thing. We still need you here, but we do need somebody who's interested in, moving up into these leadership roles. And I would like to see some younger people in them as well. So that's why I'm really glad that there's some more people who are younger than I am, which is getting easier and easier for folks to do. But
so does the, as far as the question thing goes to people, does the PTA get involved? Do they have somewhere where they could collect questions?
Because that would be
good. That would be perfect.
Because I suspect that most of your questions are coming from that direction.
Well,
I don't know about that.
The senior center might be a good place for that too.
The what?
Senior center.
Senior center.
Yeah.
But not even from the senior center. I mean, it's just.
Do you want to place one in the school office?
Maybe not even that. Even just reminding people, hey, if you have anything you want the boards to know, you can always send a letter.
Yeah.
To the town hall, to Bolton Public Schools. It would go to central office, and we're happy.
So that could be as simple as an information campaign.
Yeah, and you can drop it off at either of those locations without putting a stamp on it.
Right.
Or a name.
Right.
Or a name.
Well, yeah. I think we.
But we, well, if it's going to be read into the record, yeah. You have to have a name and address.
Yeah.
So.
So then that was something that we also could just put it, I could do that and put it out in the Bolton Bulletin as well.
Yeah.
That, we need your input on the budget process.
Here's what you can do.
You can write to us.
Right.
Or drop it off, use the town's email system to get to us through the website. That's one. Show them where and how. And the other thing that we could do is you can also just drop something off at the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the the school office, superintendent's office. I think that's probably the easiest one to find now. Just say to drop it off there.
Sure.
Just got to ring the doorbell.
I think that's probably easier than trying to put boxes up.
Yeah, I agree.
We could drop it off at the town clerk, the superintendent, superintendent's office, and use the email system for the town.
And both the schools have the black boxes, the mail slots, things can get put in. Office opens up, to pull dropped off items in.
There's one right
back. Town hall has the mail slot, you can drop things in.
So if you get a list, we could put in Bolton Bulletin just for any comments.
Yeah, and here's where you can drop off.
Yeah.
Referring to the budget.
And then when we have those set, we can announce it at this meeting so the public can hear it.
Just read them into the meeting.
At the meeting, say, you can always write a letter, drop it off, email us, we'd love to hear your comments, and just kind of have a repetition campaign.
Maybe remind people that
I was about to say the same.
Do anything with what is said on social media, and reminding people that is just.
Say, bring that into normal everyday conversation is probably the hardest part of like, hey, here's what you can do, and maybe even responding to some of these comments online that, hey, you have these other methods that would be more impactful to bring these comments to the board or committee in this case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me take a shot at that. I'll send something out again. I can send it out and we can look at it next week. I'll send it out to you folks. Just here's my idea. And so what I'm hearing is let's put something in the superintendent of schools office. We can put something here with the town clerk. They can drop them off and they can then be forwarded.
Well, I think it's not even any new ideas. Like these are the methods that already exist, and just making sure they're collated in one informative packet.
Yeah. And then we will make sure that they get, read into the record and become part of, the packet that gets distributed to. And we might wind up, if you get a lot of the comments the same, we could just say that we got these from three residents. There's, to summarize it.
Is there a general central email address for the town?
There is. I don't know what it is.
Could that be a possible venue to say at any time you can shoot an email to us at this email address with your concern?
Like HR at FultonCT.gov.
That might be easier for some people, yeah, too.
Right, for sure. Right. Have that electronic option.
Yeah. And then drop it off on
HR.
To cover all places.
And then if we have it, we maybe can locate it in a place that's easy to find.
Yeah. Right. Because right. This is not. Right
in the home. I thought it was.
Right on the banner.
Right on the homepage.
That's what we need.
I'd like to hear from you comments.
Yeah.
Email comments here.
When you say, like, send emails here and look at this, but it's not hyperlinked and you got to go digging for it.
So post that email address on the big header.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is it HR at BoltonCT.com?
There is an HR email. Let's see what the. Oh, there's. It, of course, when I hit email, it pops up with like the pop-up box.
Yeah.
So I'll hold on. I'll send the link to where I am in the Zoom. So that's on the record.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's
so the then, one. If you click the email button in the middle column. When it pops up, there's a general one too. So it like says name, email, phone number, and then you can leave your message.
And that goes to what email? The Bolton
HR. I assume that it goes to the clerk or similar.
Yeah, who monitors that?
You just want to give them a heads up.
I guess depends on who you're
contacting. That must have been what the person used the other day, and then Kathy forwarded it to me.
Yeah. Right.
Perfect. That worked out great.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some, maybe there'll be none.
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely use that one. Just give them, the link they can just do that. And
welcome to drop off.
And drop off the hard copies with the town clerk or at the superintendent's office. Doesn't matter which, whichever is more convenient, they will all come back to the finance committee. You have to let Liz know that we're thinking, Cindy know that we're thinking of doing that, so they don't wonder what the heck all this stuff is coming into them.
Well, they might still wonder, but
right,
yeah. But at least they'll know.
Yeah.
Okay. So budget calendar. I think we need next week's meeting.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And then we can talk about, do we need ones after that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to talk about on the budget calendar?
So just to clarify, because we've seen different documents and even in the budget books, some were listing next week's meeting as March 24th, but it is not. It is March 26th.
If you walk in on the 24th, there is an AP meeting for Board of Selectmen.
Okay. Yeah, you won't hear about it.
Yeah.
This stuff over here. Others.
Yep.
So March 26th.
Yep. So next meeting is March 26th, which is what's at the bottom of the page here. And then we can talk about, is there a need to have one 5 days later? My guess is probably not, but it might be.
So you're thinking, if we get that insurance info or not.
Right.
Everybody's waiting on that.
I think we're down to getting rid of the 9th and the 2nd.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You want me to think about a conversation thing?
Yeah. Right.
You got to figure it out.
One way or the other, you're going to be here, Robbie.
Roman. So it looks like the 31st may go, but we don't know yet.
Right.
It's a big change. Yeah. And then we'll talk about April.
May, large asterisks.
Okay, so we good to move on to new business.
We have one thing between us and that.
Let's see if we can, what?
The she said adjournment, and I said, well, we have one thing between us.
Just one thing. Ms. Collins, you still with us?
I'm here.
Because this is the one you and I talked about, because we talked about the fiscal planning of grants, and the committee asked Jill and me to get together and discuss it and then come back here and talk about it. And so Jill and I sat down last week and spent a fair amount of time on this, kicking this around and looking at the planning of these grants. And Jill, please jump in. It's like you and I looked at this and we felt that the responsibility really goes to the selectmen, and when they're doing the, you know, applying for these grants, is you have to consider when you're going to be awarded the grant, what's the grant period, and all of that good stuff, and then take a look at what is going on with the budget at that time and say, is this, you know, when does this fall and where does it make fiscal sense to stick it in the budget? So it really goes back to whoever is doing the grant needs to have a process like this to consult with the CFO and take a look at the financial impacts of it. The challenge that I've seen with the grants is we get awarded them, they sit for quite a while sometimes, sometimes years, like the grant that we got for, that we used to demolish the old center school. We had that money for several years and then we rushed at the end, literally the last month before the money expired, to put it out for bid and get the bids in and review them, find out that it was less than we thought it would. How are we going to spend the rest of this money? And it went through quite a bit at the end. And I get very worried when we've been doing this as a habit. And if you go and look at the bids, these, a lot of these, this happens. And it's what's called normalization of risk. You start taking risks, you get away with it, you do a few more. And it gets to be, you don't stop and think about the consequences as much. And eventually you start doing it in other areas. And then, gee, this apparently unrelated thing lined up with this one, which then lined up with this. And now you got a real problem. Because the other problem with these grants, too, is a lot of them tend to get done in the summertime. And part of that is school's out. That's when you have to do a lot of this work. And a lot of them that are outdoor work, you can't do in the winter. And if we do these without planning, and we also have an issue with running a bunch of referenda like we did last year, and we don't start collecting tax monies, you're doing this work in the middle of the summer. We don't have revenue coming in, the general fund goes down, you lose interest. And we got close to it last year. And if we do it again, we're also short about $1.5 million or so that was actually spent on the town, you know, demolishing the old school building, plus doing some other work, you know, under that same grant. So we don't have that money in there making money for us. So we're down a little bit lower, and that's why I start to get nervous. Jill, have I missed anything? Because I'm just trying to remember all the different things that, you know, we went over.
No, you got it.
So it's just like there's a whole bunch of things in here, including what's the process around the grants? Can we move up the time on them? Sometimes it might be good to stretch them out longer, you know, depending on what they are, just so we don't spend it this year. Maybe it's better to spend it next, but then that has to take into account what's the big picture plan. Same thing like with our capital acquisitions. We wind up shoving a lot of those down the road to make this budget pass, or so we think. And then you keep kicking it down the road like, oh, now this is too big to do. We have to take out a bond for it. So I'd like to see what we can do to pay ourselves first. And how do we make that clear to the public that, you know, what we're doing now is to, you know, spending a little bit more as an investment and paying ourselves as opposed to kicking the can down the road. And then you have to pay more for it down the road because it's inflation and maintenance never gets cheaper the longer you defer it.
I think we also did a good job this year of smoothing out some of those capital expenditures, like as part of the capital process, even though the net per year probably wasn't that much different. It's, you know, you have part of each one of them every year. So that way, if you need to push out one expense, it's not pushing out 50K, it's pushing out 10 or 15.
I think we did it up front, but I'm saying when we push comes to shove, when you get the budget, you know, if it doesn't pass and we're looking for how to, you know, where to cut, capital is the first thing that we go to cut. It looks pretty easy because it doesn't have an immediate impact. So that's what I'm meaning from that perspective. I agree with you because we've, you know, we tried this in the past and then something comes up like six referenda and things get, and we pay for it in the long run. So again, I don't know what your folks' thoughts are on that. If you want to just think about it and see what you feel next week, because again, this is something we can make a recommendation to the selectmen. We do not have direct control over it. And I'd rather make sure that we have that discussion and then the selectmen have that discussion based on recommendations from us. And the other thing I will do is I started it, I haven't finished it, is to compile all of the budget information from, say, the year before last, because last year was the sixth referenda, and then compare the year before last plus last year plus this year to date with, basically I did the per month, what was in our general fund, what revenue we were getting in, what our expenses were. And did that for, I did it for all the whole last, you know, last year. I want to go back and do the year before, which is more of a normal year where the revenue came in earlier.
So I thought I had seen something like that. But
was it Chris Davey did something similar, but he didn't do month by month, which is what I did. I think he did year over year.
Okay.
And I was doing this to more of develop, try to find some way to calculate our interest rate based on the general, the amount of money that we typically had over the 5 million in the account to see what the effect would be of if we did two tax payments a year instead of one. And that was a big hit in interest if you did that. So that's when I started it. So I just want to do it for another, do it for the previous year, which is more of a normal year.
And hopefully if you have it to start with every year, adding on
just that it's easier because we've never really done it.
Yeah.
So it's something that would be good to do. So anyway, any thoughts on that? I'd just like you guys to think about it and I can bring in some more, hopefully more concrete examples for our next regular meeting. But again, I just wanted to, those are the real key issues is one is we take chances with these grants. Mm-hmm. And they get rushed at the end and they have to be fit in into a certain slot to get them done. And it's just the risk of what if we don't get them done in time, you lose the money. And the other challenge is making sure that they don't all pile up at a point where our revenue is low and then we lose the interest, because that's something we have to plan for when we're trying to figure out what our revenue is going to be for the coming year. Do we feel there's a risk of going below?
That's a comforting thought, though, with the bank.
That
making one phone call, and, and they can switch you over. I mean, you're losing a percent, whatever, I understand. Yeah, but
you're still making money that you wouldn't have.
Right.
So that's a mitigation for it. But if we can do something to avoid that.
Yes.
Because you still are getting a reduction in interest if it wasn't planned for, you know, in our front work. But no, to your point, that is a mitigation. It's a good thing we had that conversation.
Yep.
With the bank partners.
I think with our grants, I mean, a lot of them, we have to put up the money up front, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, for us to know as a group, you know, what is our grant? How much do we have to put up front? When do we have to do that? When does it have to be spent by? You know, none of us know any of that information.
And the way we account for them, it's very difficult to find the specifics. You can get an aggregate number, but you don't really know where the individual ones are.
When we receive grant money, does that go into the general fund, or where is that money held? Is that like an interest bearing?
You have to spend it first and then get reimbursed. So we're taking money from the general fund to fund these projects, then be reimbursed. And they're large projects. They're in the millions. So.
Then some of them we can charge, you know, we can request money at certain key gating points along the way. And others, depending on the size of them, you may just get it all at the end. But we have to put some up front. Was it 20% sometimes usually? Or
see, we have to cover 20%.
No. So 20%, some of them are 20%. You have to spend, you don't get back. That comes from the town.
Some of it's an 80%. There's different matches
right.
with them.
So that would be, I mean, we might not have all the information, but at least we have some idea. Like, you guys are throwing out different numbers, you know, so.
Like this bridge that we're doing, we have to, we're paying for the engineering, plus we have to kick in our 20%.
Right. So I think having some sort of spreadsheet that documents that information would be helpful for the budget and
yeah.
how that could impact the budget.
Yeah, because we otherwise we really, I'm just nervous because of just the fact how low we went with the
yeah.
general fund account. We still, you know, and the interest then that we lost on it too
mm-hmm.
was almost $60,000 in that
right.
ballpark, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't, we were three months later in getting the revenue. And most of the revenue comes in right at the beginning of the, you know, the tax, the fiscal year. It's about 80% or 85% the first month, and then you get another 10%, and then the rest comes in and dribs and drabs
mm-hmm.
over the rest of the year. So you're essentially spending down
mm-hmm.
right from the beginning.
And then just to clarify about on the grants, are almost all of them like reimbursement where, you know, we're going to spend $1 million on a $1 million project and then get reimbursed 800,000, you know, and then our 20%, you know, we've already paid. Is that how they all work?
No. So
okay.
not all of them have a match. So
yeah, but I was asking about the reimbursement part. They're all like every grant that we receive,
okay.
we're putting up, you know, putting the money out first and then being reimbursed.
Correct.
Okay.
And sometimes all of it, sometimes part of it, depending on the size of the grant. And sometimes we can get reimbursed sequentially at different gating points.
Okay. But we're putting everything out.
Yeah. Okay. So I will see what I can do with getting that general fund info and see what else we could do. If Jill and I get a chance, I can just put together what it looks like you guys would want in such a grid.
Mm-hmm.
To help with planning the budget.
I'm happy to help. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Maybe you and I can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew you and I are going to be working on that other presentation, so I have to set up some time with you early next week so we can do this. Okay. Somebody wants to make a motion to adjourn. I can just tell you all just have that adjournment look on your faces.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? I doubt it. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? We're out of here.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, David. It wasn't a wreck.
I
tried to be expert.
Do you want
to still
happen?